Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
D. Mace on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The game. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick again today. Derek Mason here. Thank you to Jonathan Hutton for sitting down with us for a couple of segments. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're here at St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans and Seahawks joint practices. Day one should be wrapping up here shortly. We'll hear from Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, at the podium. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., rookie cornerback for the Tennessee Titans, is expected to join us at some point after practice. Looking forward to that conversation as well. Get his firsthand thoughts on what he's been able to see out here at joint practices. Of course, these two teams are scheduled to play in the preseason over the weekend at Nissan Stadium, but you're getting the starters out here today. The expectation is that none of the starters will play in that, for either team, I should say, will play in the preseason game at Nissan Stadium. This is when the starters will get their reps. We're getting some offense, Titans offense versus Seahawks defense here on the near field next to our station booth. Derek, what have you seen during the break?
Nothing much. They've been transitioning. They were down at the goal line. I think they're doing red zone right about now. We've seen Mason Rudolph at quarterback right now. They ran a few run plays. I think they ran a play with Chigga Conquo as well. So it's been it's hard to see from here because of where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
But I was catching glimpses of it. I was catching glimpses of it. Someone saying something to me. But, yeah, I was catching glimpses of it. So now they're moving further back, so we should be able to get a good glimpse of what they're able to do now. Mason Rudolph is still in the game. In practice. It's basically a game because they're using this as their game time.
And it looks like the Seahawks are actually wearing their – game uniforms, unless their practice uniforms are the same as their if their game and practice uniforms are the same. It looks like they're wearing what they would wear for a normal game day.
Yeah, so it does.
So it's more or less a game, but let's see what's going on here. Yeah,
pass was broken up because there should have been a pass interference. The guy got over Nick Westbrook-Ikhine a little bit too early as he was trying to catch a ball delivered from Mason Rudolph, but that should have been a pass interference. And if we were in the game, they would have the ball on the Seattle's 8-yard line because it was a pass interference. So
yesterday, well, we're going to take a quick Titans breather here just for a couple minutes. So yesterday, the Nashville Predators, who are in the midst of their offseason, made a trade. They traded Cody Glass to the Pittsburgh Penguins for two draft, excuse me, let me get to make sure I have this right. They traded Cody Glass, a third round pick in 2025 and a sixth round pick in 2026 to the Pittsburgh Penguins for a player named Jordan Frasca, who I have, to be honest with you, have not heard of. He spent the majority of last season in the ECHL, which is the league below the American League. So it's ECHL, AHL, NHL. So it was a cap dump is what that trade was. The Predators, because of what they were able to do in free agency, signing Steven Stamkos, signing Jonathan Marchessault, signing Brady Shea. They signed UC Saros to a new contract, which does not start this season. It starts next season. But they were up against the cap. They needed to get some cap relief. They dumped Cody Glass in the final year of his contract with a $2.5 million cap hit. They dumped him. They gave him to the Pittsburgh Penguins and added two draft picks as a sweetener. So,
do you think this was inevitable? You think it was going to happen regardless?
Yeah, they needed the cap space. They spent basically everything they had on the contracts for Steven Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea, as well as re-signing Alex Carrier, among others. And they also have some other players who need new contracts. But Cody Glass was an odd man out. It was clear that Andrew Brunet, Predators head coach, did not have much of a high opinion of Cody Glass, and he was, you know, he was in and out of the lineup when he was healthy. He wasn't making much of an impact. I believe he had 6 goals on the season last season, 3 of which came in the same game. He had a hat trick against the Colorado Avalanche in a game I actually attended with Jared. You know, so we saw the Cody Glass experience up close and personal. He had 3 of his 6 goals. That was during the Predators franchise record point streak in the second half
so
of the season.
So just tease you a little bit.
Yes.
And
I mean,
then
the thing about Cody Glass is I believe he was the number 6 pick in the 2017 draft.
Wow.
So clearly a lot of expectations. He was the inaugural draft pick of the Vegas Golden Knights, their first ever draft pick. And it just hasn't worked out for Glass, both in Vegas and in Nashville. Injuries have played a part in that, to be fair. But he just hasn't been able to make it work in the NHL consistently. And the thing that's interesting about that trade for me is it closes the book on one of the more interesting trades in recent NHL history. I believe it was 3 years ago, July 2021. It was a 3-team trade between the Predators, the Flyers, and the Golden Knights. The headliner of that trade was Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis was traded from the Predators to the Flyers. The Predators received Nolan Patrick, who was the number 2 pick in that 2017 draft. Then they flipped Patrick, the Predators did, to Vegas for Cody Glass. Philip Myers, you know, a defenseman who had a cup of coffee with the Predators, was also involved in that trade. So you look at the 4 major players in that trade: Ryan Ellis, Nolan Patrick, Cody Glass, and Philip Myers. Ellis's career is effectively over. He still has multiple years left on that contract. The Predators gave him that 8-year contract, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Ooh, we've got a deep route there. I don't know who was that on the run.
That was Calvin Ridley. Nice move at the top of his route. Was able to get over the top of, who was that, Wooden?
Yes.
Able to get over the top of Wooden. It was just a little bit too far down the field.
So Ellis's career is effectively over. You know, he's still under contract with the Flyers, but he hasn't played in, I think, a couple of years. Patrick's career is also over. I think he had some major head/migraine, vertigo type issues that have derailed his career. Phil Myers, I think, is in the minor leagues, but he did play a part in the acquisition of Ryan McDonagh. He was one of the players who went to Tampa Bay from Nashville when the Predators acquired Ryan McDonagh, who now is back in Tampa Bay, of course, and now Cody Glass. So it closes the chapter on a very interesting trade that, quite frankly, didn't work out on the ice for anybody. But the Predators, I think, won that trade because they did get rid of Ryan Ellis's contract and I believe his $6.25 million cap hit. As I said, he hasn't been able to play in the past couple of years. And Phil Myers was part of a trade that brought Ryan McDonagh here. That and Ryan McDonagh had a couple of good years here before going back to Tampa Bay. So a really interesting trade, but ultimately the Predators needed cap space, and it was inevitable that, you know, someone was going to be moved out. Cody Glass just wasn't a part of the Predators' plans anymore.
Well, this team is a revamped team, a new-look team, and you can't just – under this regime with Barry as the head coach, as the GM – you can't just show flashes. You just can't continue to show flashes. You got to be consistent in what they're asking you to do. And Cody Glass just wasn't consistent while he was here.
No, absolutely not. We have some interesting news from our friend Teron Davenport, who tweeted about 15 minutes ago that J.C. Latham just limped off the field and is now having his left leg looked at by Titans head trainer Todd Toraskelli. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Teron then continues, they're working on Latham's left lower hamstring. So according to Teron Davenport, J.C. Latham, you know, top draft pick of the Titans this past draft, limped off the field and is having his left hamstring tended to by the training staff. We'll see if we get any news on that. The last thing you want, of course, is an injury to a major player like J.C. Latham, making that transition from right tackle to left tackle, and a big part of the success of this offensive line unit if it is going to be successful.
Yeah, they need no one need not go down on this offensive line, because they're trying to jail as a line. This line, wow, Jackson just showed some speed. And I'm talking about Daquan Jackson.
I was about to say, which
rookie,
you have to be specific.
The rookie, Daquan Jackson showed tremendous speed right there, catching an inside route. I think it was inside slant, and taking it to the house, running away from Seattle Seahawks defenders. That's the speed the Titans want to see on the field in game time, that type of speed. Catch the ball and run with it. This is not going to be a stagnant offense as it has been for many years. This is going to be a free-flowing, free-moving offense, meaning catch the ball on the run, get them in space, and allow these guys to get up the field.
So we have a texter on our text line. This is a good question for Derek on 615-737-1025. How do the teams decide the structure of the joint practices? If I'm not mistaken, the coaches get together and map the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, one of the reasons why the Seahawks chose the Titans, or whichever way it wanted to work, why they're working together, is the familiarity with some of the coaching staff. Specifically, Mike McDonald, the new head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, was on the same staff with the Ravens as Denard Wilson, mm-hmm. the new Titans defensive coordinator, and that familiarity, you know, was good for Mike McDonald in terms of planning, because he knew that Denard Wilson, as well as the rest of the Titans coaching staff, would run a tight ship for these practices. So how do they go about, Derek, how do they go about scripting these practices?
I think what they do is they get with the other coaches on the other side, figure out the game plan, how they want to structure the practice, the time and length of the practice. And then as far as, you know, plays or whatnot, it's just like going against your defense in a sense. You script in plays based upon periods, whether it be third down, red zone, you know, first down, goal line, situational football, meaning, you know, right before the half, stuff like that, or end of game type situation. So these are some of the things that all of the coaches have input on, but ultimately it's the two head coaches, McDonald from the Seattle Seahawks, and obviously Brian Callahan here with the Titans. They structure it in a way that they're getting good work, but they're not putting their players in vulnerable positions to get hurt, because that's the last thing you want to do, is to have a joint practice and one or several of your players, whether it be on the Titans or Seattle, go out with an injury.
And we've seen, we talked about this yesterday, we've seen a lot of you know, notable players around the league already suffer injuries of varying degrees in training camp. We mentioned the breaking news the other day that J.J. McCarthy, the rookie quarterback from the Minnesota Vikings, is undergoing, I believe it was meniscus surgery after mm-hmm. tearing his meniscus in practice. Jahmyr Gibbs, the young running back in Detroit, had an injury. I believe Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco had an injury. Josh Downs, the receiver in Indianapolis, I believe had a high ankle sprain. A lot of notable players going down with injuries. I mean, that's, as we mentioned, that's just the nature of the game. But these practices certainly help control that environment, because first and foremost, the quarterbacks are being protected. They're not getting hit, mm-hmm. which in a game, obviously, you can't prevent. But the big part of this is making sure, first and foremost, that the quarterbacks are well protected.
Yeah, that's the breadwinner right there. You rise and you fall, depending on how well your quarterback plays. And if he's upright for 17-plus games, so you don't want to get anyone, again, you don't want to get your players hurt. Definitely you want to get your quarterback hurt in no type of situation, but especially in a situation when you're having joint practices. You're trying to keep everybody up on their feet, and you want to thud it, because a lot of this is just thudding. They're not taken to the ground. There may be a few here and there, but more times than not, it's just thud the guy, wrap him up, and then the play is called.
615-737-1025. We can do like a mini Ask D-Mace here. Yeah. He knows a lot more about the structure of these practices than I do. 615-737-1025. We are supposed to be joined after practice, which should be wrapping up shortly. We're supposed to be joined by Jarvis Brownlee, Titans rookie cornerback. Would love to hear what he has to say about his day at practice and what he's seen practicing out here against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm curious to see who he's been lined up against. We haven't been able to watch the Seahawks offense much. They're on the far field, but we mm-hmm. talked about it the other day. You know, you have a physical specimen in DK Metcalf, 6 foot four, 230 pounds.
30 pounds.
You've got Tyler Lockett, who's a burner out there. Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, Kenneth Walker at running back. A really good offense for the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll make sure we get Jarvis Brownlee's take on practice as well. So 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donig today. Derek Mason, ESPN 1025, 1063 The Game. What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? The best deal of the week is Soar Adventure Tower, where there's adventure for everyone of all ages. Get a $100 gift card for just $50 and book family fun, your next office outing, or birthday party. Soar Adventure Tower is four levels of fun with easy to difficult obstacles to choose. Plus, there's an 18-hole mini golf course. Get your $100 gift card for just $50 now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donig today. Derek Mason here at St. Thomas Sports Park as the Titans and Seahawks continue their joint practices. Some good news. We mentioned earlier in the hour that according to our friend Teron Davenport, J.C. Latham limped off the field, was having his hamstring tended to. He was just out there as the offense, as the first team offense was going up against the Seahawks defense. So everything looks okay with J.C. Latham. Perhaps a crisis averted there. During the break, Will Levis uncorked a deep ball to Treylon Burks in the corner of the end zone, where we're having a hard time seeing it, but D-Mace, it looked like Treylon Burks might have gotten tied up, needed a second to catch himself, but he appears okay.
Yeah, he appears to be okay. He walked off on his own, which is always a good thing. You never like to see a receiver sort of go down and then be helped off by the medical staff. But he was able to get up, shake it off a little bit, and walk on his own accord. I don't see him, but I'm pretty sure, it probably was just, something minor.
Our friend Teron Davenport, sorry to interrupt, Derek, he says that Treylon Burks just came up limp after a deep pass from Olevis. He can't put pressure on his left leg as he walks off the field. Teron continues, Burks was holding his left hamstring as he walked in the door building with team trainers. So it looks like Treylon Burks' day at practice is over. And we'll see what happens there. We mentioned Latham had a hamstring issue, according to Teron, earlier in practice, but he came out on the field. Since practice is probably over, I don't expect to see Treylon Burks on the field again, but, you hope for the best in that case. But, hearing Treylon Burks had to leave practice because of injury is a sentence that Titans fans don't want to hear. It's also something that Treylon Burks doesn't want to hear because this is his third year.
Yeah.
This is a make-or-break year. You know this as well as anyone, Derek, that you don't have very much time to make a name for yourself in the NFL, especially when you are a first-round pick. Now, as you've talked about, when you are a first-round pick, you have a bit more runway than a player. Like, Treylon Burks has more runway than Mason Kinsey.
Exactly.
He has more opportunities to make mistakes and to meet his potential. But there comes a point, there comes a fork in the road where, potential, can be a curse if you don't reach that potential. So here's hoping that Treylon Burks is okay. We'll hear from Brian Callahan at the podium later in the show. I'm sure he'll be asked about it. Who knows what he'll say. But this really is, as everybody knows who follows the Tennessee Titans, really the year for Treylon Burks to prove that he is worthy of being on the field on an in-and-out basis.
And this is sort of the Titans' worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
D-Hop is not practicing. Tyler Boyd isn't practicing. And now Treylon Burks is inside because of a lower body injury, it seemed like. They can't afford the guys that they are dependent on to go down. Will needs to build that rapport in this new offense with these guys. So, D-Hop missing this time is going to affect Will. It's going to affect D-Hop when he comes back. This is not the old offense. This is a new offense. Everybody needs to learn this new offense. And there's one thing with learning it in a classroom. There's another with coming out and learning it on the field, applying what you saw or what you went over in the classroom and applying it to the field. And when you don't have your top two of your top or three of your top four or five pass catchers, that doesn't bode well for an offense that is new and is trying as quickly as possible to build a rapport with everybody. So we're going to continue to watch this and monitor this because, you know, D-Hop not practicing because of his injury. Tyler Boyd's out today, and now trailing goal, you know, comes up a little limp. So this is something we're going to be continuing to watch as practice goes on.
It appears that practice is wrapping up. The Titans and Seahawks are separating, going to separate fields. Looks like they're getting ready to break here at practice. A good first day of practice. You know, as Jonathan Hutton was mentioning, usually it's the second day. We know as far as, I mean, we saw some pushing and shoving, mm-hmm. which is just, you know, it's natural. It's football. We didn't see any skirmishes, any fights. But it's usually that second day when things are perhaps more prone to pop off. Mm-hmm. So nothing to report on that respect today. But the Titans and Seahawks look to be wrapping up their first day of joint practices here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Looking forward to hearing what Brian Callahan has to say. We're expecting to hear him at the podium shortly, as well as being joined by Jarvis Brownlee, rookie Titans cornerback. He'll join us here at our booth to talk about the first day of practice. 615-737-1025. Derek, I want to keep it on the Treylon Burks of it all. Mm-hmm. I remember Brian Callahan said, I think during minicamp, that Treylon Burks is going to have a role on special teams in order to really stake a claim for a roster. Look, let me rephrase that. We know that Treylon Burks is going to make the team. But if he wants to make the impact, because he's probably not going to be in that first rotation mm-hmm. of receivers, he's going to have to play special teams. I mean, ideally, assuming everyone is healthy, which, again, is a big thing to assume, but if Hopkins and Ridley and Boyd are on the field more often than not, Burks is going to be rotating in when he can. But, I mean, what's the best-case scenario for Treylon Burks? Like, how can he prove himself in the way that we have wanted him to for these past couple of years if he's not getting those first-team reps regularly?
Listen, this is his opportunity to go out there and prove that he should be a part of the rotation. You know, they have bodies in front of them, guys in front of them that are damn good players. But if he does, you know, really click for this offense from a passing standpoint, he's the one guy that can change the dynamic of what they do from a passing standpoint, because he has what you want at that position. He's big, he's strong, he's physical, he catches the ball well. Now he just has to stay on the field. That's been his whole thing since he's been here. It's been one sort of setback after another when it comes to injury, whether it was the knee injury, whether it's been the concussions or some other injuries, and now he gets up and he's limping and has to be taken inside. So this is the frustrating part for GMs, and this is the frustrating part for coaches and even players, like veteran players, when you're relying or you're watching a young guy that has so much potential, but he can't seem to stay healthy. That is so frustrating when it comes to coaches and GMs and even other players that are looking at this guy as, hey, listen, we need your help. We need you to be fully ready to go. So we will continue to monitor this thing with Treylon. But this is the year. He has to show that, you know, he deserves a spot on this roster come next year. Because, like you said, I think they're going to keep him this year because I think they like what they've seen, especially since D-Hop went out. But when you have a practice like he did, which was he was having a good practice, a really good practice, and then go down toward the end of it, everybody's holding their breath.
So Teron, our friend Teron, where would we be without TD? He just posted his notes on Twitter for the first day of practice. Just some news and notes from Teron. Speaking of Treylon Burks, first note, Treylon Burks opened one-on-one, beating Trey Brown deep. Nice move and ran right by him. Will Levis hit him in stride. Seahawks DBs won the day. Tariq Woolen versus Calvin Ridley, no completions. No completions for Ridley against Woolen. Titans struggled to run early on first team period. Kobe Bryant came up and laid a huge hit on Julius Chestnut. Seahawks had free blitzer off the edge. Mason Rudolph quickly got it to Nick Vinette for a nice catch and run. Levis found Kyle Phillips over the middle for a 15-yard completion as pressure closed on him. Nice run by Tajay Spears to make the linebacker miss. probably the most spirited punt period. Arden Key, Jeffrey Simmons were chirping from the sideline. Jamal Adams was out there talking too. Geno Smith opened with a bomb to DK Metcalf for a touchdown. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. in coverage. Jarvis Brownlee expected to join us on the show. Perhaps we can talk to him about that. But it'll be it's a spirited first day of joint practices between the Titans and Seahawks. Of course, they will continue tomorrow morning before they face in a preseason game on the weekend. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We are expected to hear from Brian Callahan from the podium shortly. Our man Nick Frazier is monitoring that as we speak. He'll let us know when Brian Callahan hits the podium. Tim Hasselbeck is also going to join us at 1 o'clock. So we've got plenty to get to over the next hour and a half as long as Willie. Say again?
I think he's on a podium.
Oh, he's at the podium. Brian Callahan at the podium. Let's go there now.
Yeah, really, really happy with the way our team handled themselves. Really enjoy the fact that the Seahawks did the same. It was good. There's a lot of talking in John, but that's football. We all play within the rules today, and I thought that was good. We're going to take it to the edge. That's just how it works. They are too. But it was good to see it not escalate past that, and we played good, clean football, you know, for most of that practice. So that was good.
You tried three deep cracks, didn't hit on any of them. Calvin on both seemed like didn't know.
I got to see the tape to see what it looked like downfield. I was watching the protection on those, but couldn't quite tell. Didn't connect. I don't know if it was a combination of those guys got tired. That was part of it. So I'll have a better answer for you tomorrow once I watch it. But, yeah, I was disappointed we didn't connect on at least one of them.
Seemed like you in the game and here, haven't taken a lot of shots, and you've been talking about high percentage completion plays. When you came in, you talked about, and I know you got explosive plays from, like, Jackson today.
Yep.
When you came in, you were talking a lot about those explosive plays. Yep. So what's the balance between the explosive plays and the high percentage completion?
A lot of that has to do with down and distance. You know, we got into some spots today that kind of second and longs, some areas where some of those play-action explosives don't make as much of a difference. They're playing shell defenses and they're not letting anything in front of them or behind them. So it's a little bit down and distance predicated, but yeah, there's some times I'd like to get a few more called in practice, and we just didn't quite get to all of them. I'm trying to get some runs off, trying to evaluate the line too. Some of the play calling is a little bit strategic when we're trying to get looks at certain things or certain guys. So that's not to say that we won't have explosive plays and play action shots when we get going, but I'd say it's twofold. It's didn't get many of them called, and you know, trying to get some more evaluation up front in the run game.
Calvin had kind of figured it out. Did you think you were there? Was today maybe a step back?
I mean, it's never a linear process. You know, there's good and bad, and some days are great, and some days you got to go take a look at where you missed and why you missed, and come back the next day and try to fix it.
You talked about the protection, watching that today. How did you feel?
It was good. They got a couple good rushers over there. It was good work. Their interior players are good players. So it was a good matchup. It was good for our guys. And like I said, we got tired and hot at the end of it, and I think that was good to see guys fight through that. But I felt good about it. They had some wins. We had some wins. So I think that's what happens when you got two good teams playing. I think that was good work to get.
Jackson, did you notice Jaquan a couple of times, and has he shown improvement during the course of camp?
He's getting better every day, and I think that's all you can ask for him. And again, played well in the game, had a nice punt return. Had a really explosive play today of 70-yard touchdown or whatever it was. That was a real touchdown. So that's good to see. I think he needs to keep stacking those days and keep making a case for himself. And again, he's got ability. We drafted him because we liked his ability with the ball in his hand, and I think those things have shown up in practice.
Jaquan makes a play like that. Does it make you want to see what he could do with the ones in case you were to play him again?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that if, you know, you're carrying six receivers and you're carrying them on game day, he's going to have to contribute in some way, shape, or form. So there's opportunity for him for sure. And as he keeps making plays, just like all the other guys, they'll keep having opportunities to keep moving up. So he's no different. He'll have a chance, I think, to get some more reps.
A couple of times it seemed like that Tajay really kind of stuck his head in there on pass pro and stuff like that. Is that a valuable part of what you are? How valuable is that when a running back's willing to do that?
Yeah, those guys are fantastic. They're two of the best protecting backs, him and Tony. Tony had a blitz pickup today on a third down. That was phenomenal. Those guys are fantastic. They know what to do. They know where to go with their eyes. And then the physical part of it, they can match that as well. So having two backs that can do that is I've never had two that are that good equally in pass pro. And they're both excellent pass protectors.
Thank you. You mentioned having to watch the tape since you did. You were over on the offensive side. How valuable is it that you're getting, you know, Gabe Giulilalli, Brownlee, or getting work against DK Metcalf and those guys?
That's great. I mean, anytime you can compare those guys to what's out there in the league, and their trios is, you know, I'd put it up with just about anybody as far as pure talent. Those receivers are good on that side, and so to see our young players go against them, it's a great evaluation tool for us. They're not scared. I know that, and it was. To see those guys go out and compete against a really good group is going to be good. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be fun tape to evaluate.
What can Kiaris do outside, or is he going to make his bones as an inside guy?
He can do. He's trained at all the spots. He's probably more natural of an inside player than an outside, but he's got the speed to play outside, and that's part of the deal. So right now, most of those guys are all cross-trained in the backup roles. They got to be able to play all three spots. That's probably the best I could say it.
You've got a lot of depth at slot.
We do,
where,
yeah,
your back end receivers are going to come from. How much is that ability to play outside going to be a factor in determining who makes it?
Yeah, the utility role is a big one. You know, it's kind of why we cross-train all those guys as best we can. The returning part's a factor, and so if you're returning and you can play all three spots and fit in when we need people to fit in, that's where their value comes in. So, they're all training all those spots and trying to work them as best we can. It's twofold because you're trying to give them spots where they're natural to have success and play well, and then we're trying to train them to do other things that maybe they're not as comfortable doing.
Is there an expectation? A couple more, and McDonald starting about 2 minutes if anyone needed help.
Expectation, Boyd will be back out there tomorrow. Is that just a rest day, or is there?
Yeah, no, I didn't mention that before. He has just a small bruise on his foot, so he'll be out a couple days. He may be back out tomorrow. He may not. It's a day-to-day thing. Nothing major.
Way that the offense performed today, and you feel angry that they could have done more, or is it something where you feel like this gives you the opportunity to see what you missed?
Both. You know, there's definitely times where you get frustrated or you get angry that we left something out there. I thought we could have executed a particular play better.
102.5. All right, there we go. Sorry about that, everybody. 615-737-1025. That was Titans head coach Brian Callahan. We are joined here by Titans rookie corner Jarvis Brownlee. Jarvis, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. So give us a sense of what the first day of practice was like.
First day, man, it was great. You know, great competition out there, great intensity. And, you know, everybody, I think we all had the same mindset, you know, just come out here, work, and get better. And that's, you know, just keep stacking days and progressing every day.
Now, you had an opportunity. We didn't get a chance to see the you guys go up against the Seattle offense. How was that for you? Obviously, you're going against one of the better tandem of wide receivers in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and then you throw in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That had to be – because you guys go against top-notch receivers every day, whether it be Calvin Ridley, D-Hop, Tyler Boyd, Traylon, those guys. So y'all put in work with those guys. But how was it going against those three?
For me, man, you know, it's still a blessing. You know, just to be out here and to be able to state those guys. You know, I watched DK and Tyler Lockett on Sundays and watched those guys kill it. So for me to be here as a rookie and being able to get that type of competition and get that work and just learn some knowledge from those guys, you know, it's a dream come true and just a blessing.
Now, your first game as a Tennessee Titan was this past weekend, this preseason game. How did it go for you? I see you made a couple of plays there, but what was the feeling for you stepping out in that stadium for the first time?
It was great, man. Honestly, for me, man, I think I'm still in disbelief. You know, it still ain't hit me yet. So for me, man, you know, I just try to enjoy every moment on the grass. You know, we all know it's not promised. But just being in that Titan Stadium, man, and feeling that love from the Nashville fans, the Titan fans, man, there's nothing better than that. So for me, man, I was just happy just to be out there and just to represent the Titans.
Now, this is a new-look secondary. Obviously, Jarvis, you were not here last year, but they, through free agency, they added Chigakonkwo, they added him, then they added LeJarius Sneed, they bring in Adams, and then they go out and get Diggs. How has, more importantly, the two new corners, Owuzie and LeJarius Sneed, how have they been a help to you as a rookie?
Man, they've been great, man. Those guys, you know, they vets, so they've been around the game for a long time. And for me, man, you know, I always just try to get the knowledge from those guys, you know, and try to learn different things that can better me and my technique or just learning the game. And those two guys, man, I respect those guys a lot. You know, those was guys that I watched on Sundays as well and watch how talented they were, how great they was. And for me, man, you know, I just gained that knowledge. Sneed and Cheeto, man, they stay on me a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, just making sure that my eyes in the right place, you know, my technique is all right. Or if they see something in my stance or on that play, you know, they're telling me or giving me a heads up. And basically, man, just giving me the game. And I respect those guys, man. You know, Sneed, man, he gets on me a lot. But, you know, I enjoy it. You know, I embrace it because my DB coaches is like that. You know, it's a certain standard they hold me to. And to me, it's for me to hold up to that standard. So I try to come out here every day and just leave it all on the line. And just as long as I'm progressing day by day, then I know I'm making this team better.
We're
talking to Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Titans rookie defensive back. Now, we've heard a lot about Denard Wilson. I mean, the first time he took the podium, the energy and the fight, you know where he comes from, whether it be Baltimore or the Jets. He's always been this sort of upbeat, up-tempo, sort of physical guy when he's talking about his defense. What is he like in the meetings?
Hey, man, that guy, he's full of energy, man. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, he's a straightforward guy. And, man, he's a hard coach a lot. And that's something that I respect about him. You know, a lot of people can't handle that criticism. But for me, being from Miami, Florida, you know, I've been hard coached all my life. And when I came here on my 30 visit, you know, he told me straightforward and he told me how he was going to be on me. And I respected that a lot. So, man, in that meeting room, man, you're going to get it. But you're going to know it's all love. And he just wants you to be better. He just wants you to be great. And, you know, he expects a lot of others. So, man, for me, man, I just appreciate him. You know, the day I know he going to get on me in the day. You know, I think I left a couple plays out there, you know, just with my technique-wise. But for me, man, I look forward to that. You know, that just shows, you know, they care. You know, they love the game. They love the game just like I do. So, for me, man, I just embrace it.
We know that Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, they're tone setters. You talked about how Sneed has been on you. How have Jamal and Quandre, how's that been building in the dressing room, having them in, and what kind of influence have they had on you?
Man, I think the chemistry is getting there. You know, in our DB room, man, I think we bond a lot. You know, it's not no guys, you know, that's too big-headed or things like that. You know, I think we all on the same page, and just having those guys, you know, they bring a lot of energy to the room as well. And just me being a rookie, you know, man, like I said, man, you know, I'm blessed to be here, so you know, we all looked up to these guys, you know, watching them on Sundays and things like that. So for me, you know, just to be around them, I just try to ask questions. And as you can see, man, out here, bro, they bring the energy. And, you know, Quandre just got here, but it feel like he's been here. So, man, I love their energy. You know, I love how they come to work. You know, I love the tents they have. And for me, man, I just try to piggyback on that, you know, and just try to follow in their tracks, you know.
One of the things about these joint practices that we always look forward to is, look, tensions are running high, competitive juices are flowing. There's going to be a lot of trash talk. How would you rate the trash talk out there today?
Man, it was a lot of trash talking. You know, I didn't do too much talking. You know, I was going up against a vet. So, for me, man, I was trying to stay on him, you know, just trying to work my technique, you know, making sure my technique right. But it was great to get a compliment from him. You know, he told me, you know, he know I'm going to be a great player. You know, I'm so patient at the line and he respect the way I work. So the hit up from a vet receiver, man, you know, I appreciate that. And I thank that guy. And I'm looking forward to getting back at it tomorrow.
We were talking about this the past couple of days. DK Metcalf is a physical specimen, one of a kind in terms of his build, his strength, his speed, matching up against him. What is that experience like, actually being right up against him on that line of scrimmage?
Man, I think you just got to come with your A game. You know what that guy brings to the table. You know he's going to work. You know what he put into this game. So, for me, it was, you know, don't take no bullshit and, you know, don't slack. You know, work him as he going to work you. And as you doing it, you know, progress, man. And, you know, he's a great guy. So, you know, I asked him a few things, what he think I should work on when I'm in this certain stance or when he give me this type of release. And he's a good guy. So, man, you know, I think you just got to come with your A game and knowing that it's competition both ways.
So we saw up in New England, Gerard Mayo, the head coach, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. joining us here. I'm Willie and D-Mace. Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots, I saw this yesterday because they're practicing with the Eagles. And he was, you know, look, fights are part of these practices. We saw them, the Giants and the Lions got into it last week, a couple weeks ago. Mayo said, if you're a starter and you get in a fight, you're playing in a full preseason game. If you're a backup and you start a fight, you're not playing at all in the preseason game. did the Titans coaches set ground rules, something like that, to make sure you guys didn't get too motivated to perhaps push and shove out there?
Yeah, I think they got that memo around the league, man. No more fights. You know, I can't take no fine right now, man. I need all my funds. But No, we all got the memo, but the biggest thing is, man, it's getting better. You know, just coming out here and getting work against each other, man. You know, we all got the same goal. You know, we all in the NFL. We all chasing our dream. So, for me, man, I think, you know, fighting is, you know, that's bull. I think you just come out here and get to work, man. That's what it matter. Just getting better.
We talk with Jarvis Brownlee Jr. out of Louisville, the Titans rookie cornerback. Now, Jarvis, listen, the day is over with. You got that day in. I'm sure it was probably a little bit more than what you expected, or, you know, it was probably what you were expecting. But looking at – I want to go back to those receivers. Looking at those receivers – because all three of them are different, mm-hmm. Whether it be Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Tyler Lockett, or DK Metcalf. How do you go about going against each one of those guys? Because they bring something different. So I'm sure in the meeting rooms there's a lot of talk of technique that you may want to use against each one of those wide receivers.
So I'll start with DK. You know, just looking at his frame, you know, you don't usually see receivers like that's 6'4", 6'5", running 4.2, 4.3. So, man, he's an impossible cat. So for me, you know I just got to be – try to be more physical than him. You know, I know he feel like he got the upper hand on me because he bigger than me, he weight more than me. But more than anything, I think it comes with just eyes with him, you know, and just trusting in my technique. When it comes to Smith, I know he's more shiftier. So with me, I got to play more on my eyes than more than physical because he's a shifty guy. And, you know, I think it just goes off that, just knowing your opponent for real and knowing, you know, what's their top movements or the top things they're good at doing and what's their weak link. So for me, you know, we go watch the film, preseason games and practice film and like that. And more than anything, man, I try to take my same game when I'm playing it to anybody, and that's be physical, you know, get receivers irritated, play with my eyes, get in the help, and play the ball.
Well, that's it. I mean, we don't other than, listen, there are a lot of things that I'm sure you were expecting as you started camp here. How has it been for you as a rookie to come in here? Now we're, 2 weeks in? Is the grind what you expected or it hasn't reached that expectation just yet?
You know, at first when I came in, I was like, it ain't how they say it is. Mm-hmm. And then once we got back to training camp, it was how they say it was. So, you know, I had to get myself in shape and get mentally prepared. Mm-hmm. But man, you know, everything just a faster pace. Mm-hmm. And you know, I realized everything is just about your eye placement for real. And long as you got your eyes on your keys, and then that should lead you to the right position. But more than that, man, you know, I expected everything that's happening. And for me, man, it's just, you know, this is not new to me. You know, I'm a humble guy, and I've been through a lot. So for me, man, I just try to take every moment, bit of that grass, don't take it for granted, and just try to take advantage because, you know, we know it's not promised, and I know some guys that wish they was here. And just being from where I'm from, Miami, Florida, man, it's hard. So for me, man, you know, I think about that. You know, I think about my why. And I come out here every day, man, and try to put on the show. You know, try to play with that edge, you know, play with that underdog mentality.
Well, I mean, you're doing a good job up until now, up until this point. So continue to go out there and play your brand of football, play physical, play tough, and like you said, play with your eyes and play discipline. So You got two great guys to watch,
and
Cheeto as well as Snead. So you learn from those guys as a young player, and when your chance comes, you make the best of it.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Jarvis Brownlee, Titans Rookie Corner, joining us here on Willie and D. Mays. Jarvis, thank you for joining us. Good luck tomorrow, and hope to talk to you soon.
No problem. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, boss.
Yep. Of course. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. joining us here at the desk on Willie and D. Mays. Great conversation. We'll certainly break it down as the show continues. We've got some news from Brian Callahan. He mentioned that Treylon Burks suffered a cramp at the end of practice, so nothing to worry about there. Just got a hamstring cramp. That's the best case scenario, I suppose. So, yeah, he seems to be okay. Hopefully, we'll see him out on the field. But according to Brian Callahan, Treylon Burks just suffered a cramp at the end of practice. We also have some breaking news in the NFL. According to Adam Schefter, a player that we've talked about a bit the past couple days, from Adam Schefter, quote, surgery on J.J. McCarthy's torn meniscus revealed that a repair was necessary, and the Vikings rookie quarterback now will miss the entire 2024 season. While the Vikings are disappointed, they, quote, strongly believe he will come back better and have a long, successful NFL career, as one of team officials said, but his rookie season is over. So according to Adam Schefter, J.J. McCarthy, Vikings rookie quarterback, out for the season after suffering a serious knee injury. Schefter also points out Vikings quarterback misfortune over the past 8 years. In 2016, Teddy Bridgewater suffers a serious non-contact knee injury before the start of the regular season. Last year, of course, Kirk Cousins ruptures his Achilles in Week 8, now a member of the Atlanta Falcons. And now first-round rookie J.J. McCarthy suffers meniscus injury and first preseason game that requires surgery and ends his rookie season. So no J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings this season. The Titans play the Vikings in Week 11 here in Nashville. So Sam Darnold now the unquestioned number one quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings this season.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that
at Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk fish.com/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton on with the podcast.